you, and welcome to our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcast today. I hope that you might remind a neighbor or friend, and perhaps they would appreciate that as well. We have various segments today that we're going to be sharing with you. I believe each one can have a great impact. Well, right now, we're going to go to the sanctuary of our home church, Liberty Baptist Church, Muncie, Indiana. I want to preach just for a few minutes on leaving our first love. Secondly, how do we know when we've left our first love? Boy, this is a tough one here. When sin no longer convicts us. If we can sin just like the neighbor down the street or across town, I would be very concerned. If you can sin, I want to make it and enjoy it and get away with it and never feel any condemnation, I believe I would have a return trip to the altar. If sin is comfortable for you, if you like to go where sin is abundant, where sin abounds, if that's your company, if that's what you enjoy, if you enjoy the nightlife, if you enjoy the ways of the world, is that an indicator that you have left your first love? Sin ought to bother us. For example, if I said something rash to Miss Diana here, I'd feel horrible about it. I'd feel terrible. I want to just use that just for a moment. I hope God will help me here. Shirlene and I oftentimes talk about different ones in the church, and we do it in a right spirit. We try to say, boy, so-and-so is a prayer warrior, or so-and-so does such a good job singing. And we'll say, oh, Shirlene will say, oh, I just love to hear Miss Christie sing. We say that. Ask a question. A good friend of mine, Bob Goads, asked me a question. I have never, ever forgotten it. Here's what he said. He said, if I can't drink gasoline and get away with it, how can the other person do it? If I am bothered by it, or you're bothered by it and I'm not bothered by it. I mean, if somebody could come along tonight and say, you don't want to go to church anymore, do you? And you'd say, oh, no, I don't think I would like to go anymore. I know of people that have already said they're not coming back to church anymore. The COVID supposedly scared them. I want to make a statement. If you even want to put it to your business, you can. Listen, COVID didn't ruin the church. COVID revealed the church. If COVID kept you from going to Walmart, if COVID kept you from shopping, if COVID kept you from eating out, if COVID kept you from driving, if COVID kept you in isolation, I might say, well, maybe they got a point. But how is it? I saw a man not long ago. His trunk was as full of groceries as if he had bought out Payless. I said to him, aren't you afraid you'll get COVID here? Was I being smart, Ellie? Maybe. Does sin no longer convict us? Can we do what the world does and, oh, we're fine with that? I'm pleasant with that. I don't have a problem with it. You can write it down. You have left your first love. You see, I'm concerned. 38% of the people right now are saying they're patriotic. We're down about 20% that want church. What will it be in just a few more years? The other day, I believe it was Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana asked the Treasury Secretary, the debt that we have now, is that alarming to you? It's around getting close to $33 trillion, I think. He said, would it bother you that by the year 2035, that's 12 years, our debt will be at $51 trillion? On the way home today, I said, what happens when you have to have a wheelbarrow full of money to get a loaf of bread? You go to get a McDonald's and they say that's $25. How do we know when sin no longer convicts us? How can we go to church, never put anything in the offering plate, just let it pass by, never attend, never go to a church meeting, never go to a revival, and then somebody, when they pass away, we say, oh, no doubt he's with the angels today. I heard of a preacher. I admired him for saying this. They had a fellow that wanted to have a funeral in the church. He had no regard for the church, told them that he didn't want to be there. But upon his death, they brought him there. And the preacher that officiated stood up and said, you did this man an injustice. You brought him when he told you that he didn't want to be here. How do we know when we've left our first love? When you go to the doctor, I went the other day, and I was kidding with that doctor, the nurse that takes your blood pressure. I said, what is my blood pressure, 226 over? No, she said, pretty good, because Brother Ronnie is affected with that too. He has to really watch it if his blood pressure gets to 142. Now, it's all right at 140, but boy, if it ever goes to 142, he better get to the emergency room. You see, how do we know when we've left our first love? How do you know when our marriage is on the precipice or about ready to break up? Thirdly, and this will be my final point, we can know that we've left our first love when we're no longer consumed with the love of Christ. Two, when sin no longer convicts us. And thirdly, when the second coming no longer concerns us. I know, I told Miss Shirlene here lately, I don't want to talk depressingly. I don't want to talk real negatively. But I said, babe, we're in the fourth quarter. We've already played three quarters. And by the grace of God, we were talking about our friends. The Smiths are now in Italy, in Israel. And I can almost vision where they are in their journey. But the very moment that I thought about it, I thought, man, they're probably worn out. By now, they'd probably be carrying me not only in a wheelchair, they'd probably be carrying the wheelchair. I'm not up to it, I don't think. That's the first time you've ever heard me say that. I don't believe I could. They said, we get up at 5:30, we have our breakfast. We get on the bus at 7:45, and we get back in, I guess, somewhere around that time in the evening. I said, I don't know if I could do that. The second coming is appearing, and I hate to tell you this, but in many places where I go and where I think about, that is not even on the radar screen with most people. They could care less. But I'm going to look with anticipation when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Somebody say amen right there. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I've got some people on the other side of Jordan I'm wanting to see. Been a while. I don't know how imminent or how close it is. Neither do you. Some of us that are in our age bracket, we get to thinking, well, we may not have long. But your neighbor that lives across the street that may be in his 30s or 40 may have less time than you do. It happens to every person. Somebody put on the Facebook the other day and it got in my mind. It showed a picture of a little girl, and then the other picture faded into an elderly lady, and it said, "Where does time go?" Brother David and I, we talk about it a lot. Things of old people that we knew, and I say that reverently, people that were my friends, people that were good people, people like his dad. Utah Landing, a Baptist deacon that brought a Christmas basket to my mother every year as a widow lady. I think about those people. I think that it's not going to be long until I see our son again. It's not going to be long until I see some of the prophets, the major and the minor, but most of all, it'll not be long until I see the Savior. The nail-scarred hands, the prints in his feet. He said, "You'll know me." Thomas said, "I won't believe." Thomas called Didymus. You know what that Didymus means? It means twin. Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe unless I can put my hand into his side." But Miss Wanda, the very moment that he saw him, oh my, hallelujah, I feel like preaching a little bit. He said, "My Lord and my God." Boy, he said words there that are powerful. Is he your Lord and your God tonight? I want to brag on him and tell him tonight that he's the fairest of 10,000. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bride and the morning star. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He became man so that he could save man. Jesus Christ one day stood before God as you. Put your name right there. He stood before God as you, so that one day you could stand before God as Jesus Christ. Of Greater Vision that sings Southern gospel music has done a tremendous job with his hymn sings. He involves the audience, and then in the class singing that he has, many times he will put in the spotlight maybe a certain group or quartet. I think the old songs are still resonating well with me. The song says, "When he calls, I'll fly away."
This is going to be good. Page 12. "When he calls me, I'll fly away." Here we go.
"There was once a time when in my heart I was beginning to die. I was walking in my sinful ways. When Jesus paid the ransom for my soul, I paid his blood and died. When he calls me, I'll fly away.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen. Our home church, we like to support missionaries and the Fellowship Track League out of Lebanon, Ohio, over the years has done an exceptional job in printing Bibles, tracts. I mean, the video that you're about to see will explain it in minute detail. I want to present Brother Tim Lapish and the Fellowship Track League today. Well, I'm here today in Liberty Baptist Church in the pastor's study with Pastor Tim Lapish, who is now a representative for the Fellowship Track League out of Lebanon, Ohio.
That is right.
And Brother Lapish, look there in the count in the camera. Tell the folks basically the thrust of the Fellowship Track League.
Sure thing. Well, the Fellowship Track League was started in 1978. It is a ministry of the Fellowship Baptist Church in Lebanon, Ohio, which is kind of like a northern suburb of Cincinnati. And the pastor and the church had a vision to print 100 million tracts. In 44 years, they have now printed over 5 billion tracts, and everything is sent out absolutely free of charge. We pay the shipping on the big sea containers that have 10.5 million tracts. We pay everything, so the tracts are always free. So I go out, and I go to churches just like this one here, Liberty Baptist, and I raise money for these rolls of paper. And a roll of paper costs $350, so we ask a church if they'd be willing to buy a roll for the Track League, or if they can't do a whole roll, maybe even a half a roll at $175. So I've been traveling for the Track League since 2010, and I cover anywhere north and south, east and west of the Mississippi. And we have another gentleman who goes out the other way. So I just go church to church. I went like almost six straight years without missing a Sunday. I do about every other Wednesday. I'm out in churches raising money for the Track League, and the Lord has really blessed us.
How many, did I understand you to say today, how many billion?
Over 5 billion tracts, and there's only 8 billion people on the planet. What that means is we've printed enough tracts to reach 5 out of every 8 people you see anywhere in the world.
How many languages?
80 to 85, depending on what missionaries want what tracks, and so we always have that availability to get more in other languages as well.
I found out that my paper costs, when I have books, handbooks printed, are you experiencing that, the paper cost
yes.
increase?
Yes. When I first started up the Track League in 2010, a roll of paper was $250. Then at the beginning of COVID, the companies that make these rolls of paper ran out of customers. So they told the Track League, we'll lower the price to $200 a roll. Since COVID has ended, though, these rolls of paper have spiked to $375. There were a couple of months when it was even over $500. But it seems like the price has settled about $350 a roll. So, yes, we've seen the price go up.
Now, you've had some excellent reports by your distribution of mm-hmm. tracts, right?
Yes.
Reaching a lot of people yes. with a message of Christ.
Amen.
And I believe Brother Burris, mm-hmm. William Burris is the pastor
That's
of the
correct.
Fellowship Baptist mm-hmm. Church there. And I've been to his church. And if the folks wanted to contact you, how do they do that?
Well, the easiest way is just to go online, just type in Fellowship Track League, hit enter, and the website will come up, and the website for the church will come up. And on the website, they have the phone numbers, and you can actually look at all of the tracks on the website. You can click each track, and it will open so you can read it, and it shows you all the different languages. But the easiest way, just like about anything, is just to go on the internet.
Yeah. Well, you had a wonderful video today. Thank you, Brother Lapish.
Thank you, Preacher.
Thank you for coming by. What an honor to meet you today.
Oh, I'm the one who's honored.
God bless.
Thank you.
the Faith, Fame, and Freedom program, I hope that you've gotten some great help today. Our focus is to try to stand for the faith of our fathers, to stand for the traditional family, and help promote and defend our freedoms. These are essential parts of what we attempt to do as we go across the country, not only by television, but radio, and we like to do all that we can do. If you find this program to be of interest and feel it's credible, we always look to come into your areas, or if you feel that we are worthy of support, please consider that as well. But until the very next opportunity, this is your friend, Andrew Phipps, hoping that you have a wonderful day. May God bless you and your families. We hear about what some call progressive today in the political world. They should be called by the right name, communist sympathizers, who are atheistic in belief, anarchists, socialist advocates, and mob sympathizers that are hypocrites. They're hypocrites. They see no problem with Antifa and the Black Lives Matter movement and its destruction, but are really upset at just the mention of citizens who seek a redress of grievances. Let's face it, these people and their followers, for the most part, hate America. They hate us more than the terrorists do. If the jihadists in the Middle East ever get the energy of these so-called progressives, they'll have inside plumbing in their homes. No wonder they dislike those of us who believe, and rightly so, that America is and has been the greatest country in the world, period. I'm proud